All right, they finally did it. They sank a ship. Those naughty, cheeky Houthis have been firing their drones and missiles at unarmed ships, and they clipped this one. Ruby Mar happened about 12 days ago. You can see it's got been hit in the rear end, and it lost propulsion and took on water there in the rear. And earlier today, about 24 hours ago, it sank. And so this image came out from the US military. It's a declassified image that they put out. And you can see this thing's gone to the bottom of Davy Jones's locker. It was carrying fertilizer. There's five cargo holds on this ship, and they were full of fertilizer. It was on its way somewhere. Apparently, it's a British flagged ship. So that's why they're so happy that they sank it. But for some reason, all of the Palestinian supporters out there are completely silent on the maybe the worst ecological disaster that's ever happened in the Red Sea. They're silent. They're not saying anything. They're really happy that all of this catastrophe, this environmental catastrophe, is happening. And the hypocrisy is just deafening. I just can't believe it. I can't believe that they're so silent about this environmental catastrophe. Unbelievable hypocrisy, what's going on. So she's gone to the bottom, and this has got me thinking about the nature of asymmetric warfare. In the last couple of hours, I've been watching a few videos on Telegram about Russian T-90 tanks, the top-of-the-line tank that they have. Nothing can beat this thing, so the Russians say, being destroyed by $2,000 FPV drones with a RPG round on it. I saw two tanks that were together like this, and one is destroyed straight up, and another one, they come back and get it again. They hit it a couple of times with a few drones, and these things are destroyed. Asymmetric warfare is a real thing, folks, and it's changing the face of the battle that we're seeing. Right now, we're seeing the very evolution of people wearing goggles and manually controlling this stuff. But the evolution is about to begin once you overlay AI onto it. And the Ukrainians have got some of the smartest people in the world working on this technology. What you're about to see is you're about to see mothership drones targeting all of the enemy positions on the battlefield. And back in the rear, all of these drones are going to lift off, and they're going to be, the mothership will paint the targets, and these drones are going to strike those individual targets one at a time. So they're going to get rid of one Russian soldier at a time, one drone at a time. It's a pretty crazy capacity that they're building, and pretty soon there won't be any soldiers on the other side. There'll be robots on the other side, and it'll just be robots destroying robots. That's where this AI war is going. It's a very, very scary proposition. Just the asymmetric nature of warfare really got me thinking about what's been happening with ships and navies in the last year, because we've seen a whole bunch of Russian ships destroyed by a country that doesn't even have a navy. And this is where it began. Remember, with the Moskva, was sunk by two Neptune missiles from the Ukrainian military, and everyone was excited that the flagship of the Black Sea Fleet went to the bottom of Davy Jones's locker because, and without even, the other side didn't even have a navy. Remember this one, right at the start of the war as well, they attacked them while they were in a port, and they were just drone boats. There's another landing craft that went the way of the Dodo. That one went to the bottom as well. There's another one being promoted to a submarine. Here's another one being attacked alongside. And these drone boats have been a very, very powerful tool in the Ukrainian arsenal. And remember, they even struck them with a couple of storm shadows while they were in port in the dry dock there. So another landing craft was destroyed there, and the submarine was destroyed there in the dry dock as well. And they even hit the headquarters of the Black Sea Fleet as well. Using these little remote-controlled drones like this, they have a very low profile in the water. They're made of composite material, so you just can't see them on a radar. It's nearly impossible to see on a radar. And the Russian ships can't depress their guns low enough to actually get at them. And when you see the Russians shooting at them, they're shooting at them with small arms, not necessarily like a 50 cal or a 12.5mm machine gun. They're shooting at them with small arms. So how are you going to stop something like this, and it's zigzagging its way into a target? It might get clipped and it might stop, but the reality is these things are getting through and sinking these ships. It got me thinking about the Australian Navy, and if something like that can happen to the Russian Navy, and they're being attacked, and more than 20 ships have been lost in the last year from a country that doesn't even have a Navy, what would happen if the Australian Navy went up against the PLA? Well, this is what the PLA looked like, according to open source intelligence, a couple of years ago, 5 years ago. I don't know how accurate this is. It's hard to know what is real and what's not in open source intelligence, but it gives you an idea. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get you the gist of the idea and to show you what's actually going to happen. And the idea of this video is to show you how ill-prepared the Australian Defence Force is and how we're about to suffer a strategic defeat when we follow the Americans blindly into a war with the CCP over Taiwan. We're going to be destroyed and we will suffer a strategic defeat. And I want to ask you, the audience, where you think this is going to go. Let me explain what I'm thinking. In the Australian Navy, we don't have very many warships. We don't have much of a capability. In fact, these are the premier ships that we have, three air warfare destroyers. Each one of them has 48 VLS launchers on them. So between the three of these warships, there's about 130-something missiles that we can shoot off. Some of those VLS cells can hold more Evolved Sea Sparrow missiles in them than just one. But I don't know how many they've got on there. You assume that they've got probably 20, 25 Sea Sparrows on there, and the difference in the balance is SM2 that's on there as well. They've got some harpoon canisters in there on those ships as well, so that's not taking up the VLS cell. So the whole reason that I'm saying this is that the CCP destroyers, on average, have 128 VLS cells. So they can, one Chinese destroyer going up against one Australian destroyer, if you go one for one, pound for pound, the Chinese are going to sink us every time because they've just got more missiles and more torpedoes than we do. And then there's the sheer quantity of how many there actually is. And on top of all of the warships, you have the aircraft that support the warships, meaning the fighter jets that give them top cover, close air support, everything like that. Then you have the Chinese rocket force on top of all of that. So they're launching ballistic anti-ship missiles at you. They're launching land-based cruise missiles at you as well. So they're going to saturate our air defense very, very quickly. So the Australian military is very small in comparison to the Chinese Navy. Here's what the Australian Navy call helicopter frigates. When I was in the Royal Australian Navy, I was on a guided missile frigate, an Oliver Hazard Perry-class frigate, and these are the things that replace them. And they are just, I don't know who was in charge when they made the decision to buy these things, but they are just nothing short of useless. The combat systems that they have are hopeless. The weapon systems that they have are nothing short of hopeless. And we've got eight of them, but one of them at any one stage is in a dry dock being refitted because that's how shipping works. They just rotate them through. And one of them sitting alongside because we don't have enough sailors to actually man them. Who would want to join the Australian Navy when this is the equipment that we have? And the chances of you being sunk the minute you get out of port are very, very high. I can tell you that, man, it takes a special type of person to want to be deployed on one of these ANZAC ships, knowing what the enemy have and the enemy's capability in this day and age. It's a very scary, scary proposition, and it's not something that I would recommend to anybody. The other ships that we have that are at the sharp end of the spear are these Collins-class submarines. So we've got six of those, but do we have enough sailors to man them all? Well, the scuttlebuck in the media is always, no, we don't. And the scuttlebuck is also that they're always broken down, something's not working, the combat systems are no good, on and on and on, right? It's always a negative news story. But who really knows what's going on with these? The only people that really know are the sailors. The whole point of me making this video and showing this to you is to talk about the asymmetric nature of warfare. When we go pound for pound, navy for navy, if we come together as a coalition of the Quad to go up against the CCP, so the US Navy, the Japanese, the South Koreans, us and the Indians and the Indonesians, if we all come together, there's more than four, so there's the Quad plus, if you like, and we're going up against the CCP, sure, we can kind of field a fair bit out there. We can put a lot of ships there to go and play. But the reality is they've got more ships. They've got more missiles. They've got more submarines. And the problem that we're going to suffer from is they're going to keep us very, very far away from the South China Sea because of their hypersonic ballistic missiles. So their hypersonic glide vehicles coming in to attack aircraft carriers, that the Chinese recognize that they can't fight against an aircraft carrier. So what they want to do is keep them as far away as possible. And the way that they're doing that is with the DF-17s. And those DF-17s can attack us just as much as they can attack the US Navy and the carriers. And they've got huge numbers of these missiles, huge numbers. Now, whether or not the Chinese rocket force is corrupt or not, that's a question for another video. And nobody really knows except the people inside of the Chinese rocket force, whether it's corrupt or not. There's a report that came out last week saying that their missiles were filled with water, not with fuel, because the so-called generals were pulling the fuel out and selling the fuel. But it just sounds like a lot of nonsense to me. You got to take it at face value that if they are a threat, we're in big trouble. Now, if I look at the Australian Navy and the asymmetric nature of modern warfare, do you think that the Chinese Navy are just going to use their Navy to go up against us pound for pound? I don't think so. I think they've got a whole bunch of asymmetric warfare tucked in behind them. They've got drone submarines, they've got drone boats, they've got all sorts of capabilities that you don't see here on the front end. And I know that it is a very, very risky proposition. I remember in 1996 when we were leaving Darwin to go to the Persian Gulf, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on in the South China Sea at that time as well, and they were going to redirect us from going to the on ops to the Persian Gulf to go towards the South China Sea. And I remember thinking at the time, who are we up against? What is this all about? And then I kind of shrugged my shoulders and I figured, well, we're going to last about 10 minutes in the South China Sea with all of those submarines there. They're just going to sink us all. All those submarines are going to sink us all. They've got dozens and dozens of those submarines. And the reason that I say that is many times I've been part of surface action groups where there's five or six ships and then there's a tanker in the middle of it all that we're trying to protect, and we're in transit somewhere and we're doing an exercise with a submarine. It's the whole point of the exercise. The submarine turns left and goes that way for 5 or 6 hours. We turn right and go that way for 5 or 6 hours. Okay, game on. We launch the aircraft. We try and find the submarine. We launch the helicopters. Everyone's got their sonars on. We're trying to do it all. And in the last 10 minutes of the exercise, the sub pops up with its periscope and sinks all 5 or 6 ships. And there's dozens and dozens of incidents that happen in RIMPAC in Hawaii where Australian submarines have done exactly that. And also Japanese submarines and South Korean submarines have sunk aircraft carriers on exercise and doing all of that as well. When you're on a warship and you're up against a submarine, there's virtually no chance that you can actually survive it. Anti-submarine warfare is some of the most difficult thing that you can do from a warship. You're literally just a sitting duck. And the range of their torpedoes is so much further than what we can find them at. Where are they? There's this big giant ocean. We don't know where they are. The South China Sea is a big place. There's a lot of submarines, and that's their stomping ground. They know exactly what's going on. These submarines here on screen, if we could put three of them in theater, we could put three of these ships in theater and two of these in theater, they're going to be destroyed in the first couple of hours of the war. On top of that, what I would suggest to you that the most vulnerable position that we suffer from is putting our hands up and saying, yes, we're going to go with the United States. Yes, we're part of the Quad. Yes, we're going to do that. If I was a Chinese admiral and I knew that the Australian Navy was coming for me, I would destroy all of these ships while they were alongside at Garden Island in Sydney and at Garden Island in Perth. Just rain down a couple of ballistic missiles from space. You wouldn't miss while they're alongside. It's a pretty easy target. You can see that from space. And bye-bye, Australian Navy. Strategic defeat. What happens if we lose 2 Hobart-class destroyers, 3 Anzac ships, and 2 submarines? We have no way to defend ourselves. What then? We don't have a militia here in Australia. We don't have weapons in society like Americans do and Canadians do. We don't have that. The Chinese could put a landing ship out the front of where I live here in Cronulla and come ashore, and there'd be no way for us to resist them. We could only resist them with, like, picks and shovels. That's literally the only thing that we could do. We'd get rolled up by those guys in no time at all. So if they go away and sink our Navy and destroy our Air Force before we even leave Australia with ballistic missiles from space, that's the end of us. And I'm not talking about nukes. They don't need to use nukes. You wouldn't use a nuke. Storm Shadow missiles that attacked the dry docks in Sevastopol and Crimea destroyed the ships pretty accurately. Their ballistic missiles can do exactly the same thing, and they can reach Sydney. It's very, very easy for them to do that. We don't have any air defenses. Even if the Chinese Navy was sitting in the Pacific Ocean to the eastern part of Australia, they could fire a cruise missile at us and sink our ships in port. They don't need to use a ballistic missile. They could just fire a cruise missile, a sea-skimming cruise missile, their version of a Tomahawk, coming at us, and it would sink our ships while they're alongside. Or, better yet, as they're coming out of Sydney Harbour, sink the ships as they're coming out of Sydney Harbour there, and you'll block the harbour there and cause all sorts of chaos. They could do that easily. And the reason they can do that is because we don't have any air defences. There's no Patriot battery protecting Tyndall Air Force Base in Darwin. There's no Patriot battery protecting Williamtown or Amberley. There's maybe some NASAM systems. And NASAM, what is it? A battery of 6 AMRAAM missiles? and we got one radar station that goes with it. Are you kidding me? Ballistic missiles will rain down from space to shoot that down because AMRAAMs can't engage a ballistic missile, make that battery go away, and then they can just follow on with cruise missiles. This stuff is like a walk in the park for the Chinese Navy. Think about it. If you were a Chinese admiral, wouldn't you just position all of your assets to get rid of the Australian military before they got involved? And we would be defeated strategically before any of this started. Well, what would happen if all of our aircraft in the open, on the aprons, in Williamtown were destroyed and in Amberley were destroyed? We don't have hardened bunkers like in Guam or in Diego Garcia or in some base in Wisconsin in America. They're not protected in nuclear shelters. The $100 million jet, that F-35, is sitting out on the apron under a shed. Are you kidding me? There's no hardened bunkers there. There's none. Like, it's hard to believe how vulnerable we actually are. And the whole point of me showing you this video is to show you that if we end up in a shooting war in the next couple of months with the CCP, we're going to suffer a strategic defeat. And by strategic, I mean if we lose three submarines, that's a strategic defeat for us. Because these submarines are meant to be a deterrent, but they're all going to be sunk. They're going to be sunk by the Chinese Navy. Maybe we're going to get a few punches in there as well. I'm going to sink a few of theirs in the process, but I doubt that they're going to come back. Then what? All of our Navy is gone? If two of these air warfare destroyers are gone, three of these are gone, two of these are gone, that's the end of it. I looked quickly to see how many battalions that we have. Been a while since I looked. 7 infantry battalions on the front line here in Australia. That equates to between 550 and 1,000 soldiers, assuming that we're able to man them with recruitment levels. Assume that we're somewhere in between, or for argument's sake, we've got 1,000 soldiers per battalion. We've got 7,000 people you could put to the front. It's not very many, is it? What happens if they go to the front and they're all destroyed? The American military recently conducted an exercise and an analysis based on the Ukraine war to try and figure out how big the casualty count would be if we went to war with China, because we're going to take losses. We're going to take significant losses when we go to fight with them. And what they came up with was 3,800 casualties per day. So that includes people that are killed and people that are injured. So what they're trying to do is to figure out how many hospitals they need, how many staff they need, what type of logistics they need, and that's the number that they settled on. So if we're losing 3,800 people per day, that means that our units are going to be quickly diminished. What happens if our infantry units go forward and are destroyed? How are you going to restock those units here in Australia? Do you have enough weapons? What happens if 2 battalions of soldiers are destroyed on the battlefield in the Pacific and we can't reconstitute them? Do we have enough webbing? Do we have weapons? Do we have ammunition? Is there enough magazines to go on the rifles to do all of that? I don't know. It seems woefully inadequate. Let me tell you, when I joined the Australian Army, I went to recruit school, I went to the School of Infantry, I joined my unit 3RAR, they went to Timor, and I came in the first reinforcement cycle when they went to Timor. When I got there, I didn't have a pack, yeah? I'm an infantry soldier, and I didn't have a pack. All I had was like my ruck, and I had to go to the Q store to get a pack, because I need to put rations somewhere and carry stuff, because I'm an infantry guy. There was no packs. They had to scrounge around for a pack. And this was the biggest operation the Australian Army had been on since the Vietnam War. And they didn't have a pack for me. What the hell? And the webbing that I had was from the Vietnam War. What the hell? Unbelievable. Unbelievable how useless the Australian military actually is. But it's not the soldiers. It's the leadership. It's the leadership and the bean counters that are completely hopeless. And they're only working within the boundaries of what they got. I understand it. But that surely they must understand the threat that's coming. I saw a report the other day about how many amputees are there in Ukraine after 2 years of war. Well, they estimate 20,000, but it could be as many as 50,000. And that's only one category of injury. You might be injured on the battlefield, in which case you're not able to go back to the battlefield for a variety of different reasons. These are the people they're counting that lost an arm or a leg, or both, or all of them. So what would happen if that happened to our military? It would be diminished very, very quickly, and it's going to go away really, really quickly. I want to bring it home with this video here. I came across this. This is a bit old now. This is from 2019, so it's 5 years old. But just in this one pan of the camera, this is Xi Jinping before he's giving like an annual address to the military, and it cuts to a whole lot of different places around China about the military. But in this one, when I pause the video here, when I count them just quickly in the first, like, and then scale it out there, there's more people there than the Australian Defence Force has to put on the battlefield as infantry soldiers, just in that. And as it pans around, it keeps going and going and going. Quantity has a quality all of its own, folks, and we are going to be in big trouble when we follow the Americans into a war in the South China Sea with the CCP. They're going to strategically defeat our Navy. They're going to destroy our army, and the only hope that we've really got is our Air Force. But is that actually going to be destroyed before it even gets off the ground? Well, if I was a Chinese admiral, I would just park a couple of destroyers off the coast. The cruise missiles have a range of 1,000 kilometers, 2,000 kilometers. They could be somewhere near Australia in the Southwest Pacific, and you would never even know. And if they fired the missiles, you'd never... Are you going to get some warning that somebody fired a cruise missile at you from 1,000 miles away? What radar systems, what over-the-horizon radar systems do we have looking to the northeastern part of Australia if the CCP were parking their warships up there? They could take away all of our eyes, all of our ears, every single asset that we have before we even get involved in the war. So part of the naval blockade of Taiwan would be repositioning their ships to strike us. And then what are we going to do? Put an air warfare destroyer out there. They're going to sink that in the same time as well, because they'll bring a couple of subs with them. They'll sink our ships before we get anywhere. But if they were smart about it, they'd do it quickly and they'd just sink the ships while they're in the harbour. Our Australian military is woefully unprepared and woefully inadequate for its purpose. It's just not fit for purpose. And the result of that is going to be the complete and total destruction of our way of life. And when I think about it, if our military is damaged, destroyed, degraded, and we suffer a strategic defeat, what's left? What do we do next? Does the Australian government then turn to conscription? But who wants to be conscripted by a leader like Anthony Albanese, when people like Penny Wong, Richard Miles, and Anthony Albanese are openly supporting, openly and willingly supporting with your taxpayer money, Zelensky? And Zelensky is in the Parliament of Canada clapping a known Nazi. Why is the Australian government supporting a Nazi supporter? He thought it was the best thing in the world that guy had killed Russians in World War II. But he happened to be an SS officer, and Zelensky was clapping him, and our Australian government is continuing to support them. What person in their right mind would ever follow the orders of Anthony Albanese? What person in their right mind would ever follow the orders of Richard Miles? He's just a bumbling, mumbling, stuttering moron who doesn't even know the class of ship to the type of aeroplane that we have in the Australian Defence Force. He's the clumsiest, most inept, useless defence minister the Australian government has ever had. And these people are going to take us to the very edge of complete and total destruction, because they're just the puppets of the United States. They're puppets of the United States military-industrial complex, and they'll fall into line with whatever we're told to do. But the cost of that is going to be the strategic defeat of Australia. If our Navy's destroyed and our Army's destroyed, what would happen if the CCP put a landing ship out the front here in Bait Bay, where I live in Cronulla? The CCP, what would happen if they landed two battalions of soldiers here? The reality is we wouldn't be able to fight back. There's no weapons. We don't have any weapons in society that we can go and fight back against these guys. So they would just come in, start setting up checkpoints, and they would roll us up. This is the potential that Anthony Albanese, Penny Wong, and Richard Miles are leading us to. Does it sound crazy? If our ships are all sunk, our army is destroyed, how are we going to protect this country? There's no militia here. There's no weapons here. There's no possible way that we can protect ourselves. This is asymmetric warfare. And we are overmatched by the CCP, we are outgunned, and we are out... They're much better tacticians than we are as well. We've got incompetent bureaucrats running our society. That's what they are. And they've allowed this to happen. So my question to you, let me bring it home with this. What do you think a strategic defeat of Australia will look like? Because I think that that's what we're facing. I don't know. Maybe I'm a pessimist. Maybe I'm completely wrong. Tell me why I'm wrong. United States Navy is pretty powerful. And if we come together as the Quad, with Japan and India and Indonesia and South Korea and everybody else that's going to come and help us, pretty powerful. But we're still going to suffer losses. Even if we suffer, even if all of the ships that I'm talking about go away and we lose those ships, we're going to suffer a strategic defeat. Our country is going to be completely and totally defenseless because of the ineptitude of our government. And it's not just this Labour government that's here. It's been the Liberal government for the last 20 years as well. They're just as bad. If anything, they're worse. And the alternative Prime Minister, Peter Dutton, was the Defence Minister. So he's just as much to blame as Richard Miles. He's a bit more competent than Richard Miles, but he's just as much to blame because he's positioned us to allow this to happen because they never had the foresight to see how quickly we're going to be destroyed. Unbelievable. All right, let me close it out there and wrap it up. Thanks for watching. See you in the next one. Bye for now.